subject of how to make the most of our time, I'd like to share with you a few thoughts from this article that some of you may have read on Tyranny of the Urgent by Charles Hummel that appeared in his magazine a year or so ago. It's been very helpful to me in just analyzing what my problem has been. You know, it's very easy. It seems to me that in America and sort of in our way of life that everybody's in a hurry. This spring when I was down at North Carolina State, Tom James and I went around just witnessing in the dormitories and spent every afternoon, or the bulk of time every afternoon, talking to fellas in the dormitory. And as many of you students know, probably all of you, sort of the common thing among students is that they're just swamped with studies, they're busy, they just don't have time to do things. And it's not only true of students, but almost everybody you meet, they just say, oh, I just don't have time to do this or that, and there's sort of a sense of frustration and just wondering, well, boy, how can I, as the subtitle says, escape an over-busy life? And I think this is the type of thing that we want to talk about here in STF as one of our objectives. As you recall, the opening night, we had four objectives. And the last objective is balanced use of time. And that's what we want to emphasize this summer, is just how do we use our time? Now, we have a little bit different approach to our schedule here than, say, you who have been to Maranatha, for example, or who have been to other training programs. The day is scheduled pretty full, but here we have free night during the week, free afternoon on Saturday, and other times that are relatively unscheduled. And yet it's designed purposely this way. And the reason for it is not that we feel that we want to just relax and, sort of coast this summer. Because I think for all of us, to accomplish the objective that God has given us is going to be a full-time job. But we want to learn how to use our time and how to keep things in balance and in perspective. And so what we're doing is scheduling a certain number of things, creating an environment that will be conducive to learning how to deepen your devotional life, how to have team fellowship, how to do friendship evangelism, but also how to use our time. And that's what we're going to be discussing here this evening. Let me just share with you sort of the main thought from this. We won't take all of it, but I think the idea that he has is very important. If we can just comprehend this one idea, as a matter of fact, if you could come to really appropriate this idea, I think it would solve all the problems of being frustrated about being busy, being overworked, not knowing what to do. He says that, you know, in the life of Christ, it's very interesting to do sort of a character study on the life of Christ. You know, I've never seen that he got in a big rush. He had a lot to do. There were times when, you know, the multitude sort of pressed in on every side. Didn't seem to frustrate him. You know, the disciples said when the 5,000 were there, boy, how are we going to feed all these people? What, you know, food service department, oh, what do we do now? You know what Jesus said? Well, just have them sit down and we'll take care of it. So the multitudes didn't seem to upset him. But on the other hand, you see him spending all night in prayer alone or getting up in the morning going off by himself. And he didn't feel obligated to be around the multitudes. And if we can just capture the balance that Christ had, I think we'll have the secret. And yet, in all of his life, he was able to say, at the end of his life, in John 17:4, you know, in his prayer there, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, he didn't heal everybody that was sick. There's still a lot of people that, you know, had problems that he hadn't even met, maybe. And yet, he was able to say, I have finished the work that you've given me to do. Hummel says that, you know, our own lives leave a trail of unfinished tasks. You know, we have unanswered letters. Anybody have unanswered letters? unvisited friends, unwritten articles, unread books, aren't the quiet moments when we stop to evaluate. In other words, there's all these things, all these things I have wanted to do, but I just haven't done them. You all have... Okay. And then he says, you know, will we escape in 5 years? No. You know, the longer we go, the more responsibilities we will have, the more demands will be on our time. So it's just going to get worse unless we find the secret. He says it's really not hard work. It's not putting in a hard day's work that's really the problem. The problem is the doubt and indecision that produce anxiety as we review a month and feel oppressed by the pile of unfinished tasks. In other words, it's not working hard. It's looking at the end of a month and saying, oh, no, 25 letters unanswered, 10 books unread. I haven't been over to visit these relatives, you know, all these things. And all this produces an anxiety, and this is the hard part. And then he gives the answer to all this, and the answer is simply that the rest of our lives there will always be unfinished tasks. See, so the answer is not trying to get everything accomplished. You know, there's already, without any more books being written, there's more books to read than we could possibly read. There are more people to see than we could possibly see. There's more letters to write than we could possibly write. And the secret is being able to pick out of all these things that we'd like to do, that little segment that is God's perfect will for our life. And then we do that, and when we've completed it, we say, I have finished the task that God has given me to do. And with it, we can relax, be unrushed, not in a hurry. But the secret is taking that time to find out what is it that God wants us to do. And the bulk of the article just points out that he takes regular time, an hour each week in addition to his quiet time, just to evaluate what God wants him to do that week, a day a month with the Lord just to plan his month and find out what God wants him to do. But I think our problem is that we try to overload ourselves, and as Howard Hendricks said out at our staff conference out in Colorado Springs, he says, you know, sometimes I meet people that feel like that they're more concerned about reaching the world for Christ than Christ was himself. You know, I met a pastor, and I talked to him, and I said, well, say, when do you get your day off? And he said, well, you know, sometimes in the summer I get 1 or 2 days. I said, oh, is that right? He says, oh, no, there's just so many needs, so much work to be done. He says, I just don't take any time off. And I thought, you know, this is really noble. But, you know, Christ wasn't that way. He got away. He spent time alone with his Heavenly Father. And the important thing is to operate, like Howard Hendricks said, in the principle that he was pointing out when he made that illustration of Christ. He said that one of the principles that Christ operated on was priority, not pressure. He operated on priority, not pressure. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. But it's easy for us to load up our own schedules. Down in Raleigh this past winter, Georgette was working and trying to be a nav wife at the same time, and I was saying, well, let's do this and let's do this, and the job said, let's do this, and finally it came to a point, you know, I began to tell that she began to get a little bit frustrated about all these things, and I thought, now, what's the problem here? Was it me? Was it the job or bad attitude? So we got together and did a little bit of what we did, and something might be helpful to you if you've run into this problem.
that you feel like you've just got more things to do than, you know, you're never able to get everything done. We got together and did a rather simple thing. Maybe that's because I'm simple-minded, but what I did is just, I made out a list, and I started asking her questions and said, okay, how much time do you need just to sleep and be rested every week? So we put down, you know, sleep. Okay, 7 days a week, if you get a good night's sleep every night, that's 8 hours, right? 7 times 8, okay, 56 hours. Okay, work. How long does that take? Well, we figured out by the time you left, let's see, 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock when she got back was 4, 10 hours that she was gone and traveling and working. And that was 5 days a week, so that was 50 hours. And then we talked about, well, now how much time would you like to spend on Bible study, okay, Bible study. So we put down Bible study. You know, I can't remember exactly what it was, but we'll say 4 hours. Quiet time, eating, time with girls, ministry, shopping, you know, everything we could think of, and then I added it up. And then I found out why everybody was frustrated. 197 hours. Well, this isn't bad, except for the fact that there are only 168 hours in a week. So there were about 30 hours, or about the equivalent of one person working, well, that's almost full time. 40-hour work week, that's three-fourths time. You know, three-fourths of a full-time job extra in addition, I mean, when there wasn't any time. So we found the reason, and then the next thing, of course, is to go back over and pray over these things and find out, well, what's priority? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean eliminating everything. It may mean just spending less time on some things. It may be eliminating some things. When you look at the list, it may mean adding something else on that is really important that you left out. But Jim Dowling made a statement in January that's helped me a lot about this matter of frustration and pressure. And he says, most of the frustration and pressure of life is just a result of poor planning. I was talking to one girl one time, and she was sort of frustrated about some things. She was getting married, and she was she wasn't frustrated because she was getting married, but I thought, you know, most girls aren't frustrated because they're getting married, but we got to talking, and I found out one thing. She planned to make her own wedding dress. You know, and here's a bulk of, I don't know how many hours it takes to make a wedding dress. But it was causing a lot of pressure and frustration. You know, there was a very simple solution. Don't make the wedding dress. You know, very simple. And Hummel here makes this comment about this idea. He says, it is not God who loads us until we bend or crack with a nervous breakdown, heart attack, ulcer, or stroke. These come from our own inner compulsions coupled with the pressure of circumstances. You know, it's not God that loads us down until we come up with an ulcer or a heart attack or something. It's our own doing. In other words, we have control of situations if we take control. But the only way we can really effectively take control is to get some time with God and find out what God wants us to do. Ephesians 5:15-16. I think sort of be our key verse here tonight. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Making the most of the time. It's scriptural. We should make the most of our time. And tonight, that's sort of what we're going to do, is just
has some practical suggestions and all on how to make the most of our time. Now, we're going to do things a little bit different here tonight. I have some thoughts on this that I want to share with you, but well, I don't know where all this chalk's coming from, but I'm getting loaded. We're going to have a panel, and we're calling it a reaction panel to get their reactions. But the panel is Helene Asker, Diane Cooper, Dave Hughes, and John Carroll right over here. And what they're going to do is, during this time, they're going to be taking down, you know, thoughts and suggestions from the points that are mentioned. And then afterwards, they're going to ask me questions of things that they had. Now, before we get into that, though, we have an even more of a different approach. What we're going to do is divide up into buzz groups of about four or five each. So sort of where you are, get together with... before you get together, though, find out here what we're going to do. We're going to take just a few minutes, and the subject is problems that you have faced in making the most of your time. Problems that you have faced in making the most of your time. And one of the group there can sort of be the secretary, and you can just give them out, write them down. And then when I say time, then you can stop where you are, and then we'll have about one more minute to decide what is the most important problem or the major problem out of that group. And then we'll have a time of sharing that. Everybody got that? Okay, so we'll get together in groups about four or five or whatever works out there and list some problems that you face in making the most of your time. I'm going to share a few thoughts tonight. I have a 13-point message. Now, I've sort of put down some suggestions of what I thought were problems. I think most of these fit under what I consider sort of the three main categories. In other words, if you were to break this down into categories of how you lose your time, in other words, you're not using your time efficiently, how do you lose your time? And what can you do to overcome it? I think most of these things will be covered in that. We'll be touching on some of these things, spare moments, priorities, planning, motivation and things in this. The first thing is the time that's lost through disorganization. And this has to do with the fact of starting out to do things, but no real goals. In other words, you do a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit here, and there's no real purpose in what you're doing as far as reaching any goals, so you don't end up really accomplishing a whole lot. It's like, in this article it says, it's like the fanatic. When unsure of our direction, we double our speed. So, you know, if we're not really sure where we're going, we start more activity and think we're getting more accomplished when the result is we aren't. And the solution to that can be summed up in one word, and that's planning. The first thing in using our time wisely is this matter of taking some time to just plan our activities. And some of this has to do with this matter of planning, especially unrealistic scheduling. Schedule doesn't work. Planning up here and priorities. We'll be talking about priorities a little bit later on. But one of the presidents of DuPont Corporation said that 1 minute in planning saves 3 or 4 minutes in execution. And many times if we just stop and plan something, we can save a lot of time by either eliminating the task, we realize that when we sit down to think about it, it's not important, or by thinking about how to do it faster. Now,
Now, in this matter of planning, it's very important, see? Hello. Thank you. I'm glad this is a live broadcast. Now, I'm sitting down or making a plan. Lauren Stanley has sort of outlined a plan that he wants the NASA staff to follow, and I think it's a very excellent plan for all of us. And how we go about setting down our objectives and developing a plan from that. And let me just share that with you, because I think it's very helpful. And there are three parts to this. The first thing is deciding on what your objectives are. And the way I do it is sort of make a little chart. And I'm running out of room here. I hope I remember part of this. Chart with three columns, or you can use three different sheets of paper. I don't know whether you can see this over here or not. But the first column is our objectives. In other words, what are we trying to accomplish? Now, this can be done on a short range. In other words, like here at STF, it'd be very good if you did this for the rest of the summer. What are your objectives for the summer? Now, some of them are sort of built into the program. But like we've mentioned, not everything that you're going to learn would come under those four objectives. You can have other objectives besides that. In some of your unscheduled time, you may be working on that objective. But let's just take an example of an objective that is familiar to all of us. Let's say the objective is to learn the Old Testament, or learn something about the Old Testament. Now, I won't write out the objective, but when you're doing this on your own, it's good to write out so you know exactly what the objective is. Then the second thing is the activities. What activities are you going to indulge in or do to help meet that objective, in order to meet the objective? So what activity do you have to engage in, or can you engage in order to accomplish the objective of learning something about the Old Testament? Well, here this summer, the activity that we're engaging in is a Bible study on the highlights of the Old Testament, and specifically 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Then the third part, once we get a specific activity, then the third part of this is, what is our timetable? When are we going to do this activity? Now, for this type of objective, there would be two parts to our timetable. One is, when do we get together as a group to discuss this? And the second part of the timetable would be, when are we going to do our personal preparation? Now, see, this is a practical point as far as scheduling and the thing that we're talking about. How many, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many... See, Bible study was last night, it was Thursday. How many during this week have decided about how much time you want to put in on Bible study and have decided when you're going to do that? See, have you done that? See, this is something that if you're planning ahead and trying to use your time to most efficiently, it's something that it would be well to have thought of. The typical reaction to this is that about Wednesday night, right after supper, we think, oh yes, Bible studies tomorrow. And one thing we're trying to do here this summer is to work on this particular area and how to get a Bible study done and be able to enjoy it, relax, share the blessing during the week, and not feel under this panic and pressure the night before the discussion group meets. So the time would be, say, Thursday night for the group, and then probably Saturday or Sunday for your own personal preparation. Now, let me just say one other word here on this matter of this type of planning ahead. I said it'd be good to plan for the summer, but I think it's also good sometime when you can have a day alone with the Lord for some extra time, is just decide, what do you want to accomplish in the next year, next 2 years? What do you want to learn, say, in the way of Bible study? What do you want to know, say, 2 years from now, in the way of Bible study? See, is Bible study just
a matter of doing a study each week, or are you trying to learn something? And I like to think of it in terms that, say, 2 years from now or 5 years from now, I'll know certain things that I don't know now. And each Bible study I do, each activity I engage in, is taking me along the road towards that objective. And a lot of our frustration back here about unrealistic schedules or, say, an organization that works is a matter that we really don't have any organization, that we really know where we're headed and what we're trying to accomplish. So planning is important. And the second way that time is lost is just the time is lost in getting started. I think this thing that Clark mentioned, it's a matter of motivation for one thing. I see these things I need to do, but I just don't feel like doing them. Or it could be that you see...